This is Hacker Public Radio, episode 3857 for Tuesday, the 16th of May, 2023. Today's show is entitled, Yesterday I Saw a Solar Flare. It is hosted by Andrew Conway and is about 11 minutes long. It carries a clean flag. The summary is, an account of the first time I saw a solar flare with my own eyes.
Hello, Hacker Public Radio people. This is McNallu, also known as Andrew, and today I'm going to tell you about a solar flare that I saw yesterday. Now, when I say I saw a solar flare, I mean I saw it with my own eyes. And that isn't usually an easy thing to do. I should also say that my background, as many of you might know, is in astrophysics. And specifically, I used to do research and write papers on solar physics, and specifically energetic particles and their movement around magnetic fields during solar flares. So you might think that would mean that I know quite a lot about solar flares, and I know something about it, but it's been years since I've worked on it. But, you know, I've never seen a solar flare before. And in fact, I don't think many people have. Certainly many of the solar physicists that worked on solar flares, they've looked at a lot of data from solar flares, but never seen a solar flare with their own eyes, as I certainly had not done until yesterday. Now, what happened was, it was a sunny day. You know, sunny days aren't that common where I live in Glasgow in Scotland. But it's been sunny all week and quite cold and clear nights, great for nighttime astronomy too. But I have this small solar telescope that belongs to the Astronomical Society of Glasgow. And I set it up and pointed it at the sun. And this is, I should stress, a telescope that is designed to be pointed at the sun. So don't go around doing this with any old telescope. You will blind yourself and maybe set fire to things. And it's got a what's called an H-alpha filter. So H-alpha is a very specific wavelength of hydrogen, which corresponds to an energy transition in the hydrogen atom. So it's quite a good one to look at because it can tell you a fair amount about what's going on in particular parts of the sun, particularly at its surface, what we call the photosphere and the chromosphere, which sits above it. Anyway, I don't want to get into jargon. So I was looking through this telescope, and you see this, the sun is of course very bright, but with this filter in place, it's probably thicker than a welding glass type filter. You shouldn't use welding glass type filters to look at the sun. I'm not 100% sure why not. Anyway, this telescope is designed for the purpose, so it's fine to do that. And I was looking at the sun, and it was a massive sunspot. I mean, you could put several Earths inside this sunspot, pretty near the centre of the disk of the sun. And I was looking at that, and then I noticed, oh, there's another quite prominent spot, not quite as big. And then I looked at this other spot, and as I was looking at it, it was, well, when you look at the sun, and I'm not talking about an inverted image here, when you look at the sun, you generally talk about the location in the sun in terms of south being at the bottom of the sun, because that points down towards the southern point of the horizon. So if you imagine being in the northern hemisphere, you're looking south at the sun, let's say at noon, then you will, if you look at the sun, then south will be underneath the sun, north will be behind you, opposite direction to the sun, and west will be to the right and east to the left. So that's, when I say north, east, south and west, when I look at the sun, I'm referring to that. So the big spot, as I said, was in the middle of the disk. But this other thing that I saw was at the northeast corner of the sun. Okay, corner. closer to the edge, not quite at the edge, but in the northeast quadrant, if you like. And it looked like a spot at first, but then I noticed it had a bright strand, like a line. I went, that's very unusual. I've never seen that before. And the more I looked at it, the more odd it seemed. And it seemed like the bright strand was getting brighter. And so I assumed what I was looking at was some kind of solar event, probably a solar flare, that was visible in at the H alpha wavelength. And you often get solar flares near sunspots. And the reason is the common element is the magnetic field. It's all tangled up in these regions which cause sunspots. They also cause solar flares to happen there. But not often. You know, most of the time you look at them, you don't see any solar flares. And I've never seen one in H alpha before. Well, not with my own eyes. Anyway, I wasn't sure at this point what I was looking at. And it just so happens I nipped next door to get my neighbour and came back. And when we looked at it, he saw it too, although it appeared a little bit less bright. It was there, but less bright. And then we were chatting for a while, and I looked again, maybe about 5 minutes later, and it was gone. There was no bright patch, and there was no sunspots I could see. There was just nothing at all where this had been. So I thought, oh, maybe some cloud has passed in front of the sun or something and has blotted it out, blurred it out. Because I could see the rest of this disk of the sun quite fine, and I could see this big sunspot. And there was two other spots on the other side of the sun that were still there. So I thought, well, maybe it's just that side of the sun's a cloud drifting past. But no, I waited, and that never returned. And didn't see the bright patch, didn't see the what I thought were sunspots. Now, at this point, I picked up my phone to a friend of mine who was my mentor and friend, laterally, and explained what I'd seen to him. And he said, oh yes, it does sound like a solar flare, but that darkening that you mistook for a sunspot, that's odd. So he pointed me to some sources of data, and I indeed was able to verify using the GOES satellite data, which looks at X-rays. And there, that data is used to classify flares, and it indicated that the first thing I saw was an M1.7 flare. Then I went next door to get my neighbour, and by the time I came back with him a few minutes later, a second flare had started up. The first one had finished, and the second flare had started up, and it was a smaller M1.1 flare. So these classifications, it's a bit like the decibel scale. So I can't remember what the letters stand for exactly, but it's this, an M-class flare is a big flare. An X-class flare is 10 times larger in terms of its X-ray output. And that would be an enormous flare. They're very rare. But M-class flares are big, but, you know, nothing to write home about. And the fact that it was an M1 flare, M1.7, the first one that I saw, it's on the smaller end of the scale. So M9 would be at the upper end of that scale. And the whole class, a factor of 10 below that, is called the C-class flares, and they're pretty common. Anyway, so M-class flares, albeit a small one, I was surprised to see the fact that I saw that in H-alpha. I was quite surprised, because it wasn't a huge flare. It was a big one, though, but not very big. So I went off, and I then confirmed for myself that, yes, there had been flares at these times. And then I looked at magnetograms of the solar disk, which shows you where the magnetic field is at its strongest, and I was able to see the region I was looking at did indeed have two spots, and you can actually see them in what's called white light images, as unfiltered light images that you can get from various observatories around the world. I could see that there were sunspots there, but they were really rather smaller than I could see with the telescope that I was using. So although there were spots there, that wasn't what I saw. And I could see when the air was still, I could see there was something there through the telescope, but it just looked like an indistinct patch. I couldn't make out spots on spots. Later on, I was able to locate satellite data from the SDOAIA instrument. And I think that's at a wavelength of 304 nanometers. I think that's, I'll correct myself in the show notes if I've misremembered that. And in that, I was able to put together a movie using a website called helioviewer.org, and that movie clearly shows the events that took place at that time. Although that wasn't in H alpha, it was in a wavelength that is related. I think it's to do with helium, that one. Helium's the second biggest constituent of a star. Hydrogen is 75%. Of a star by mass, and 25, well, just under 25% is helium, and then a small amount of lithium and a tiny amount of everything else. Anyway, so helium is also a good thing to look at if you want to see what's going on. Yeah, so, I mean, so in conclusion, yes, I did see a solar flare, and I was able to verify it, and I don't know whether I'll ever see another one, but I'm going to try. Now I know that they can be seen, I'm going to try and see another one, see if I can get lucky. And at the moment, the sun's fairly active, there's plenty of spots, so anytime it's clear, I'll try and set up the scope and have a look. Today, I had a look, the big spot was still there. I could see, I managed to take a photograph just by holding my phone to the telescope, which I didn't manage to do yesterday, but I fiddled around with the settings on my phone and managed to get an okay photograph. So I'll stick that in the show notes. The other treat that I got today was, while I was looking at the sun, hoping for another flare, but I didn't get one, what I did get was a plane with its contrails go right over the disk of the sun. I couldn't believe, you know, it was like a black silhouette, and it lasted mere seconds, but it was really striking. And I looked up using this app called Flight Radar, and it wasn't just any old plane, it wasn't a passenger jet, it was a US Air Force C-17A Globemaster. So, there you go. Solar flares and US Air Force planes. Things that I didn't think I would see through my telescope. Have you ever seen a sort of solar flare or a jet photobombing your astronomical image? If so, let me know in the comments, or even better, do an HPR show about it. Thanks very much. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. Today's show was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hosting for HPR has been kindly provided by anhonesthost.com, the Internet Archive, and rsync.net. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License.